following is a Super Network production with Super Marcy.
If I could have given them that money, I would have gladly taken my cameo in the fanatic.
The terrible Australian B. Jemine.
See, that's a version of this scene I want to see. Instead of Casey Jones, it's just Jason Voorhees.
It contains coarse language.
This movie has had two different women having two different tongues up their
mature themes.
Like, I could also imagine, like, some people at this party could also be members of the cult.
Potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Listener discretion is advised. Please find us at supermarcy.com and subscribe to us via Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy.
Their powers are legendary. Their origins are unknown. Are extreme. But when our future's at stake, they'll be the world's last hope.
And the game is on.
Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Super Podcast, the premiere show on the Super Network, right here at supermarcy.com. I am, of course, your host, Super Marcy, and if you have never listened to the Super Podcast before, you're in for a real treat today. So here at the Super Podcast, we like to do monthly fan-voted audio commentaries for films. And each month, we pick a theme, and our Facebook group votes on which film we will do the commentary for. So, first, I would like to welcome my usual co-host, BFF, the one who is terrible, B. Jemine. Hello, B. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Marcy. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. I was enjoying the sunshine in winter, but it's now raining, so boo-hoo.
Indeed, indeed. But that's Melbourne for you. But there's other reasons to celebrate regardless, because I think at least, being that this is a Super Podcast episode, and I'm just springing on this too right now just to get your reaction, this month, Marcy actually marks 12 years since the Super Podcast premiered.
That is very true. This month marks 12 years of the Super Podcast. That's right. This podcast has existed for 12 years. I started it 12 years ago, and the very first episode was me talking about a Harry Potter film, and oh, how times have changed. Everything is now, or has been, at supermarcy.com. The Super Podcast and supermarcy.com has, you know, evolved into the Super Network, and we have many other podcasts that we do as well. And we've had lots of changes over the years, but still going strong. So I am an OG podcaster, and this is an OG podcast. But yes, send me all your congratulations. That'd be lovely.
Indeed, indeed. But unfortunately, though, when you asked me to be your co-host on the show just went completely downhill from there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's been crap ever since, but we're still going somehow.
It jumped the shark when I joined, Marcy.
Yeah, literally. Literally, he jumped the shark.
I did.
But for this fan-voted episode, we actually have all current Super Network contributors on the podcast, as we welcome back one of our absolute favorites, and now site writer Marcus Wilturner. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you two lovely folks doing?
Doing all right. Pretty here down under, eh?
Yeah, definitely. But what have you been up to, Marcus? What's been going on? Because a lot has happened the last time you've been on the show. You're now an official contributor to the Super Network, and you've written some really great reviews for us. And so what has been going on with you lately?
You know, just trying to survive this pandemic and, you know, trying to, you know, not lose what little sanity I have left. I mean, you guys were completely crazy to let me come on and write reviews for you because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So, you know, it's been up and down, but, you know, things have been changing in my life. You know, I recently moved and, you know, going to start a new chapter over here in the Will Turner household. So it's been a very exciting and uncertain time. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Yeah. But you do know what you're doing because your reviews are wonderful. I love being able to read them and share them with everyone. You've covered some really good films so far, and yeah, everyone should go check them out. And cool. Definitely.
And also, our has to say something when our good friends over at The Horror Returns are very happy and also slightly jealous that you're writing for us now.
Yes.
well, to be fair, you guys did ask me,
and yeah. That is true,
you know, and I'm definitely grateful for the opportunity. You know, I've been a very long time fan of you guys and I've known you two for a very long time.
Yes.
So, oh, definitely. You
know, we've had a long friendship.
Yeah. And, you know, and I couldn't be happier to be a part of the Super Network. Aww. And congratulations on the 12 years. That is a ginormous milestone. And I am very thankful to kind of be a smidge a part of that. So,
well, but, you're part of the Super Network family, and we've had a lot of people who we classify as the family because we are, as Vin Diesel will say, family. So basically, like, you are part of you've always been part of the family, but now you're even more so now. So
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Man,
you can't bring it back on family.
Hey, exactly. You've been one of us for a long time, but now it's all official. And to The Horror Returns, as much as you guys are family, he's ours. Hands off.
But Lance, Brian, Philip, you can have Marcus on weekends.
That works.
But Marcy, we have quite a film to talk about for this fan voting commentary.
Yes.
The show. Yes. So, and also the topic we picked for it, because I think it's actually a pretty awesome topic idea for it.
Yeah, I think it was something we might have both come up with. So we thought we'd, you know, have a shot with Troubled Productions. You know, we came up with this list like last year, and I'm surprised, to be honest, because of how unpredictable things have been, that we have not missed a month, even if we had to play catch up, and we've been on time with everyone now. So it's quite an achievement now that we're on a good tight schedule. But yeah, July is Troubled Productions was the theme, and the films were Raw, Cursed, Highlander 2, The Island of Dr. Moreau, Waterworld, and the one that won the poll, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Hells yeah.
LXG.
Yeah.
That is true. Because, you know, that's what the kids were saying at the time. LXG.
Yes.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh, gosh. Well, we are going to get right into it. But first, a word from our sponsor. We would like to send a huge thank you to the amazing Podcorn for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. You can check them out at podcorn.com/podcasters. If you, like us, are a podcaster, Podcorn is a fantastic place to check out. You can find amazing sponsorship deals, which links you up to perhaps other podcasts that you can help grow, or products that you actually really love and want to spread the word about. It's an amazing community, and it's been really friendly and such a rewarding experience. There is no middleman. We can browse all the amazing opportunities, or perhaps make one of our own, and we can collaborate with people and brands directly. It's kind of amazing. I highly recommend this. So if, like us, you are a podcast, please check out Podcorn. You can see it in the show notes, or you can go to podcorn.com. And if you are looking to advertise your product, just head to Podcorn as an advertiser. It's freaking amazing. Definitely check it out, guys. And once again, thank you so much to Podcorn. You are amazing. We love and adore you. And now back to the show. And we're back. So, Bede, as you do with every commentary episode we do, and this is for new listeners, give us the rundown of how the audio commentary can work.
Indeed. So we're going to basically be playing the film from the very start. So if you've got the film either on DVD, Blu-ray, or if it's streaming somewhere, pretty much have the film at the very start. And what you need to do is when I'm going to count down from five, and then when I say go, that's when you play the movie, and our audio commentary will be in sync with the movie as you're watching it. But I'm pretty sure, as if you don't have a copy of this film, I'm pretty sure the commentary itself will still be a really fun listen to on its own regardless. Mm-hmm. But so that's pretty much the rules. Although, that being said, though, if you haven't listened to any of our previous commentaries, how dare you? But I'm ready when you guys are.
I was born ready.
Marcy, but you know who else was ready, Marcy?
Who?
Sean Connery was ready for this. I'm going to be talking like this throughout the whole commentary.
All right, then.
Okay.
Sean Connery, count us down then.
Actually, before I do, I got a special guest who's going to be joining me.
Oh dear!
It's my co-star from The Rock, Nicolas Cage. Hello there, Sean. How's it going? I'm very excited to talk about the greatest film you were ever a part of, LXG. That's very kind of you, Nick. yes.
Shit! All right.
So I'm not going to guarantee both of those guys are going to appear throughout this commentary, but they might at certain points. Because I think Sean Connery would have a lot to chime in on throughout this whole movie if he was still with us. So I'm just going to channel him through my soul. So
okay. Well, count us down in your best Sean Connery.
All right. Let's count down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, the movie is playing, hopefully.
Now, Marcy, tell us the backstory of this movie, because I know that a certain family member of yours is a huge fan of this movie.
Yeah, I've seen this movie a lot. A lot. So
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, so my dad, I think he might have seen the trailer and he really had to see it. He really wanted to see this movie. So we went and saw this movie and he fucking loved this movie so much that we kept watching it and watching it, and I got him the special edition 2-disc DVD set that got watched over and over and over again. And to my dad, this wasn't a bad movie. To my dad, this was awesome. This was, you know, Sean Connery, one of his favorite actors, playing Alan Quatermain. It was all these cool characters coming together. No sense that this was not very good.
Although, Marcy, I'm very disappointed that it wasn't Richard Chamberlain who was playing Alan Quatermain in this movie, to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to see those movies, canon made, the Ismail and Quartermain movies.
Indeed. Although I like how this movie basically, like, just legit just goes straight into the story.
Yeah, right.
No.
Yeah. With a title screen that bland, no wonder.
And very sort of muted out colors.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know that this was based on the comics. Were they comics or graphic novels?
I think they were graphic. I think they were comics then made into graphic novels by Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill.
Yeah. So, if you know much about, you know, Alan Moore as a writer, he has notoriously pretty much hated, like, every adaptation of anything he's done. And something like this really doesn't fucking help the case, because I think they even, like, I don't know if it was due to any copyright or something, but they changed characters or added in characters, changed things up a bit.
Well, from what I understand, because I mean, I haven't read the original League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comics, but from what I remember, though, the original comics weren't really sort of action-adventure type stories. They were definitely much more darker kind of character stories. Like, they still had adventures and stuff in it, but they're kind of more interested in characters and themes and stuff like that. But I think the approach that I think the filmmakers went with this one to make it more of sort of this adventure-type story without much of those dark elements probably would have definitely rubbed... Alan Moore the wrong way, because I believe this was the last film, like last adaptation of his work that actually had him credited on it. Because after that, every other adaptation of his work, he did not want his name on it.
So I'm just using IMDb trivia, and it says apparently except for The Invisible Man, all of the characters have fallen into public domain. But is that in terms of what's in this film? It doesn't say, or comics. So I'm assuming it must be what they've used.
Yeah, because I think in terms of like The Invisible Man, they had to create a whole. It wasn't I think it was Guy Griffin was the name of the character in the original H.G. Wells book. So they had to give him a different name and also backstory in this one. So it's basically like a character who's found Guy Griffin's invisible formula and has just basically used it to become a master thief.
Mm. Mm. So this film, notoriously, speaking of that troubled productions, theme, so the director, Stephen Norrington and Sean Connery did not get along at all. And, it's been said that perhaps all the, reports in the media about their disagreements and bust-ups were maybe even toned down to what they really were.
Mm.
And they didn't agree on anything. And, this film, I don't believe Stephen Norrington directed another film after this.
Indeed, and also Sean Connery only did one other movie after this, which was a voice role, and that was basically it. And now my door's ringing. I'll be right back.
As always.
I apologize. As always. Right on cue. I'll be back.
Yeah. But this pretty much marked Connery's retirement with acting.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll be right down.
Yeah. He said he was tired of dealing with idiots.
Yep, this was his final live-action role. But I guess, given he was, getting on in age, did he really want to keep acting?
I mean, he could have still done, like, dramas and stuff.
Yeah, I imagine he probably still could have. He just sort of, we never really heard much about Sean Connery up until he, unfortunately passed away last year.
Yeah.
At a very ripe old age at that.
Yeah, and they certainly tried to make him seem like he was much, 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 much younger than he was in this movie.
Like, I think, at least in terms of casting, like, he's a good fit for the role. But, you know, maybe they just had the wrong people behind it in terms of the script and direction. Because I think they kind of, the casting mostly, I think they're pretty solid choices.
Yeah, they are. I just, from my personal opinion, I just don't think they were able to really do as much with them as they wanted.
No. Yeah, I think it needed a completely different script, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, 100%. 100%. Like, I don't know what the script for this is, but whatever.
But, yeah, it's pretty weird and odd and weirdly sexual and a bit chauvinistic and just culturally inappropriate. And
oh, it's just very much so. Very much so. And I think this film's biggest fan is probably still my dad for some fucking reason.
Oh, maybe he sees something there that we don't.
I think for him it's just I don't know, he sees it as a fun adventure film.
Yeah, there's certainly some
to be fair, he's a big fan of the Last Airbender.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's probably worse than this.
a million times worse.
Yeah, very, very much so. So I don't know what's wrong with my dad.
Don't even get me started.
So I don't know what's wrong with my dad. But there you go. Likes weird movies.
It's okay. My folks are the same too.
Yeah. I'm just here for the Sean Connery accent in the background. I'm having quartermain. I can't do a Sean Connery. God save the queen.
Or you can call me Carol. Okay, mine is really bad.
Oh, jeez. But you're right. You know, in this role, he does look a lot older.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure he should be going on adventures. Like, I could believe it, you know, in The Last Crusade. But not so much in this.
Heck, I could even agree with it in Entrapment.
You know? Yeah, right? That didn't work either.
I'm back.
He's back. I'm back. Back again.
Although I'm very sad that David Hemming and his amazing eyebrows got killed just now. That's all I always remember David Hemming's for is just his eyebrows, because they were like really like very spiky and very big.
Okay, see that leap right there? That was not Connery. Come on.
Connery was like in his early 70s when he did this movie.
Yeah. And they make him move like in he's, you know, in his 20s.
Exactly.
Like, no.
Well, to be fair, in Victorian era, Alan Quatermain was a hard 30.
He's a hard 30 for the 1800s right now.
Exactly.
As Professor Batch would say.
Indeed.
And I think when he shows up, Tom Sawyer is a hard 50.
Yes.
But was Tom Sawyer even in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen book?
No, he wasn't. He was added in so they wanted a bit of American flavor to the proceedings.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. And Alan Quatermain... Yeah, and Alan Quatermain, he was only like a supporting character. Mm. Like the real lead of the actual leader of the Extraordinary Gentleman was Nina Parker.
Mm.
Oh!
Stick around.
Yes.
Yeah. So they definitely added in, a bit
strange. Yeah, because they, And it's interesting because I don't think Tom Sawyer as a character never appeared in any of the books from what.
And it's a very random character to pick.
Very random.
Yeah, but he's kind of like the most famous literary Americana character if you think about it. Him and Huck Sawyer. I mean, Huck Finn, sorry.
I guess.
Yeah, it makes you wonder why they put Huck in there.
So did they? Good shot, Connor. But are they public domain?
I believe they are, yes.
Well, that would make sense then.
Yeah, because I think Alan Moore, I almost said Alan Quartermain, I apologize. Alan Moore, I think he sort of, when he made the comics, like he went out of his way to make sure he only got like characters who were in the public domain.
That makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense.
And if the eight characters who were like, who weren't in the public domain, he just never referred to them by characters. Because I think, from what I remember, I could be completely wrong. I had somebody who's only knows a little bit of the comics, but has never really truly read them, so I'm not an expert on any of this. I think Harry Potter actually appears in the third collection.
Oh, okay.
I think, but does not by his name.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I like how that explosion was so bad.
Fake?
And it just happens out of nowhere.
Yep.
And Connery does not care that all those people just died in there.
Nope. And he's apparently already dead. I don't know.
Yeah, he just forgot.
It's been a while since I've actually sat and watched this.
That was Sean Connery realizing that his career was dead at that point.
Fucking hell. Bede, while you weren't here, I was telling Marcus about the other awful movie my dad loves.
What was that, Marzi?
The Last Airbender.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I could get your dad's love for this movie, but really? The Last Airbender?
I know. I think he just sees it as some kind of, I don't know, fucking adventure fun or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, what I love about at least the design of Victoria era, like some of the shots almost look like 3D matte paintings. Like it's obviously CGI, of course, but how they're sort of done, it looks like sort of old school matte paintings in a way.
Like I like how they kind of, you know, for that Victorian era, it's just very muted with the colors. It just puts you in that kind of very sort of dark, depressed state of things.
Although, to be fair, this is London all year round.
This is Melbourne all year round.
That is true.
Even in the middle of summer.
I would throw up an American city out there, but, you know.
Did you hear that, Marzi?
They said Australia.
Oh, indeed. It's like, we're going to Australia.
Not now, Sean.
Now that Indy's out of the way, I can finally be Indiana Jones.
Can he, though?
Yes.
But who's Henry George?
Oh, my stream paused.
Yeah, it's still going.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just me.
No. I was just trying to fix it up. I don't like Shriashash.
It's that damn Australian actor Richard Roxburgh.
And Richard Roxburgh was in everything at this point. I don't know why, he just was.
Yeah. He was like in like Mission Impossible 2, then Moulin Rouge, then this film, Van Helsing and Stealth, like back to back.
Yep.
And he was like the villain in most of them.
Yep. With weird, weird accents.
Indeed.
Really weird.
Do his accent from MI2.
Yes, I was just about to say, be careful, you don't know who you might run into.
And I don't even know what his Dracula impression was or accent.
I don't know what that accent was. I don't even know what he was doing in that movie, but it was kind of amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a soft spot for Van Helsing.
I do too.
It's crap, but whatever.
I do like the
fucking that beard.
Huh. Yeah, I know. And this is actually the very first time that Captain Nemo was actually played by an Indian/South Asian actor.
Really?
Because the character was always Indian in the books. But he was always played by a white dude in every adaptation of that book.
Of course he was.
Makes perfect sense.
So what, did they, like, put them in heavy makeup?
No, I think most of the time they just put him in just a white person.
So but, it took this film to kind of cast it more appropriately.
Yes.
Fucking hell. Okay.
This movie was ahead of its time, Marcy.
At least it did something.
Although I gotta love, like, if you look at the like the paintings in this room, those are the previous members of the League Extraordinary Gentlemen. You got ones that have like the Three Musketeers, the Scarlet Pimpernel, like, and a few other literary characters kind of in these in this team.
Invisible Man's about to give Quatermain a heart attack.
Oh, yeah, man. This character's M from the Bond novels. Indeed, that's why they created a new character like me to be in this one, because of copyright.
So what, but, you know, at least this one is in the is in like the same vein as like the literary character, unlike Sawyer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Probably the best actor in the movie.
Tony Curran. Mm-hmm. Tony Curran is one of the like he knew exactly what movie he was in.
Exactly.
He really did.
That's why he's so interesting.
I will admit, this is actually like the best special effects in the movie.
Right? Yeah. It's actually pretty solid, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Are you a good boy or a naughty boy?
Indeed, I asked him. I asked him. He told me he was a very naughty boy.
And whatever happened to Peter Wilson?
I don't know. She kind of did this movie. Like, I think it was going to be, like, a big breakout cinema role.
Mm.
And the only real thing she did after this movie was, like, a small part in Superman Returns, and that was basically it.
Yeah. Because she had, what was that TV show she used to be
in? La Femme Nikita. Yeah, she was in the first. She was in, like, the first iteration of that story. TV one, I should say. Mm. I'm actually curious what she's been up to these days. I'm going to find out.
It's like she disappeared, and she's pretty decent in this movie.
Oh, she hasn't acted for quite a few years. The last movie she made was in 2015, and then the last TV show she did was 2012, and a documentary in 2017, and that was basically it.
I think we need to champion the Peter Wilson comeback then.
Indeed.
I'd be behind that.
Oh, literally, like, she did Superman Returns right after this movie. So that was only her next movie role after that.
Maybe this film killed her potential career.
I guess so. And she's actually really good in this movie. I thought she was awesome. Although the interesting thing is, though, is, like, her character of Nina Harker in the comics... She wasn't a vampire. I mean, she did get bitten by Dracula, but she didn't have vampiric powers or anything. That was just something they added for this movie version.
Yeah, well, that's probably another reason why Connery and a majority of the men seem to disrespect the hell out of her throughout the whole thing.
We didn't like her because she was a woman. We didn't like her because she was a vampire.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. That's why it took a while for Nick for Connolly to get used to me because I was in Vampire's Kiss.
You want to know what it is? It's the fact that Connery can't make her a Bond girl. He tries so hard, but it just doesn't work.
Meanwhile, at the East London docks, which is obviously a set. the reference to War of the Worlds on that poster back there.
Yeah, very true. Yep.
Yeah. And I believe in the second comic book, they actually went up against the Martians from the War of the Worlds. That was actually... Well, I believe if this movie, I remember when they were actually going to do a sequel to this movie, at least before this one came out and kind of bombed. The original plan for the sequel was going to have the League resurrect Alan Quatermain from the dead, and they were going to go up against the War of the Worlds.
Jack the Ripper reference.
Yep.
And I want that car they're in. That is cool.
A car like that did not exist at this time, let's just say.
Hello, Dorian Gray. So I can't do
it. Like,
fucking.
Or as Connery. Or as my friends like to call me, Lestat. Because Stuart Townsend literally is just replaying Lestat again in this role as Dorian Gray.
You know, like, physically, he could pass as Dorian Gray, but his acting in this, no.
more like low crap, am I right?
I don't know. I kind of like him in this movie.
I don't know. I think he's pretty shit. But that said, he can be a good actor, but isn't he really hard to work with or some shit?
Well, he was meant to be in the original four, and then he was let go, so yeah.
Wasn't in Lord of the Rings either, eh?
Oh, well, to be fair, he was, like, too young at the time, so they recast him with Viggo Mortensen.
I think he's very cheesy and hammy. I'm not saying, like, it's a bad thing. It just adds to how ridiculous this movie is.
Indeed. Although, it makes sense, like, I guess one of the main appeals for me about this film and why I do enjoy it is, like, I mean, the idea of having all these literary characters together and then be like, oh, if you actually put them together, they would legit be a superhero group.
Yeah.
Because, like, they all have abilities. Like, you know, Dorian Gray's got immortality. Ina Harker's a vampire. You got the Invisible Man. And, you know, all of them have some function. Although I think Dorian Gray was a character they did add to this film because he wasn't in the book. Or at least he was, but it was only a minor character and they had a different immortal character as a member of the team. I think it was Orlando, from what I remember. I do like that effect.
Yeah, that was gross.
But that means, like, if his drink goes through, you can see his drink through his body. Does that mean you can see it go all the way down and basically to his bladder?
I don't know. I don't want to know if when he takes a shit, you just see shit falling.
Oh, basically, you can see the food basically digest in his stomach.
No. That's gross, Bede.
Although I do love...
Totally different movie, then.
Yes. Although I do love Stuart Townsend's gray suit. It actually
Cool. The suit's great. But, yeah, you know, I think after I watched the 40s, the picture of Dorian Gray, like, that's my ultimate Dorian Gray.
Yes.
It's so good, that film.
Oh, Nicolas Cage, is that you up there? Oh, it's not me, Sean Connery.
It's the Phantom.
I am obviously not Richard Roxburgh in disguise.
The Phantom of what?
Well, I guess it was meant to be the Phantom of the Opera, hence the face mask and the scarring. Or at least that's the illusion. Yeah. I think that was kind of like the illusion they were going for. Because he's technically not the Phantom. He's, what is it, Dr. Moriarty.
Yeah, where did that come from?
It's like, we'll just use Dr. Moriarty for no reason.
So he plays Moriarty and we're supposed to think he's not the villain. Like, please.
I think even when I saw this movie the first time, I'm like, that's Richard Roxburgh, isn't it? It's very obvious.
Yeah, this movie made some weird decisions. Yeah. This movie had so much potential.
But at least has the villain, like, pontificating to all the heroes when he should just kill them.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, it's definitely a movie I would say doesn't quite live up to its full potential, especially with the type of premise it has. But I don't know, I still kind of enjoy it for what it is, as a silly movie.
Yeah, no, it's enjoyable in that way. It's just completely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It should be like the League of Ridiculous Gentlemen.
Like, in the right hands, you could definitely make a good League film.
Yeah. I mean, if, like, if someone serious, like, decided to, like, reboot this, it would be much, much, much better.
And Captain Nemo's gonna take out all the whiteys who played him over the years.
I'm down
while
with
using while using the moves of Jackie Chan.
Exactly. Hey, Captain Nemo can do whatever he likes because he's awesome.
Exactly.
Of course he is. You see that beard? I can't get off the beard.
I just like that everyone in this movie knows martial arts.
Every single one.
And also, like, Dorian Gray knows how to sword fight, apparently.
Well, yeah. That's part of the picture powers.
Indeed.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like the Matrix. He just draws on the painting, learn martial arts.
Though, to be fair, out of everybody, I would understand him knowing martial arts, you know? Because he's lived long enough to learn all of it. You know? But I don't know.
Oh, no, I can believe that Captain Nemo is that fucking badass, though.
Well, he did. He activated his beard powers.
Yes!
Damn it, that's my favorite suit.
Olé.
Olé!
Can I just touch your chest before I die? Ugh.
Take that, Wolverine.
I'll say this, you would think from the director of Blade, like, the action is a little kind of all over the place as well.
And that's one thing I really cannot understand about this, because Blade is awesome. So what the hell happened?
I have no idea.
You'd have to know you had such a bad time on a movie when you, like, make this and you'd be like, you know what? I don't want to direct another movie ever again.
And it's just, like, sucked all the life and creativity out of him.
And it's interesting because, like, I think Stephen Norrington, like, it's not like he hasn't tried to make a comeback over the years. Because I remember, like, at some point he was actually probably in talks or attached to direct Ghost Rider, Clash of the Titans, and The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, okay.
But they just never happened. But then he probably was, like, attached to all those movies, and then he had flashbacks again about Sean Connery. He's like, nah, I'm good. And I like everyone's like, oh, she just legit sucked the blood out of somebody.
Don't lie, that was hot.
That was.
It was. And she's like, guy, even though the guy she killed seemed to be made of orange chicken.
Yes. And she's like, I better check my makeup. And why is she checking? Why is she checking herself out in the mirror? She's a vampire. She can't see herself. I'm Tom Sawyer because Huck Finn wasn't available. I'll technically Huck Finn's dead in this story. So,
oh, there you go.
I had the American throw-in in this movie. Because this movie was too British.
Yes.
We can't have that.
Oh my god. His performance!
He is having up way too much.
He does not give a single shit.
This was probably a contractually obligated role for him.
What contract, though?
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure he just rocked up on set and they just added in the character.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was too pretty, so they're like, yeah, let's add him.
So, has anyone, like, any of these leads, what... Like, Shane West has kind of, I don't know, what is he doing? I don't hear about him anymore.
Oh, he's still doing stuff. I'm going to look up, like, what everyone's been up to this movie, so give me a few seconds to I believe, well, Stuart Townsend, I think he kind of semi-retired from acting after this. Oh, well, he decided, he was, did more and more acting after this and even directed a film.
Mm.
But I think, oh, he's making a comeback because he's just been in some recent movies.
Okay.
And that. Although the last major thing he was in prior to his recent film work was being on an episode of Florida Special Victims Unit.
Mm, there he go.
And 7 episodes of Salem. And 2 episodes of Elementary.
There you go.
Shane, actually, I think Shane West was actually on Salem, from what I remember. Let me look him up. What has he been up to lately? Oh, he's got a few stuff coming up. Mm. And actually, he was actually in the second iteration of La Femme Nikita.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
With, was it Maggie Q played the character of Nikita in that version?
Oh, God, yeah. Jesus.
And holy shit. And holy shit, he played Bane in 4 episodes of Gotham.
Oh, okay. So he is still acting. I just haven't seen what he's been in.
Yeah, I think it's kind of mostly TV stuff.
That Tony is Curry. One epic submarine.
Oh, I love how the design of the whole submarine. It just looks so slick. It looks like a sword, pretty much. Well, literally, you just said the sword of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Stabbing the ocean.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Paris?
I wonder if they're in Paris.
No, I don't think so.
Obviously, this is Little Red Riding Hood. Obviously, this is Little Red Riding Hood running around.
No, it's Hellboy.
Yeah. Hellboy's retarded cousin.
And this is all makeup, too. This is not special effects. Like, CGI and that.
Are you sure? Because it looks a bit shit.
Well, it's makeup.
Yeah.
Because I think with... the Mr. Hyde effects, they did a mixture of makeup and false perspective. False, yeah. To make him, like, look bigger than everyone else.
Okay.
And this is the second movie that came out between... One of two movies that came out between 2003 and 2004 that featured our main characters chasing down Mr. Hyde in Paris.
Yep.
And you know what the other movie was, Marcy?
Van Helsing.
Indeed. I bet when Richard Roxburgh read the script of Van Helsing, he was like, is this the League of Extraordinary script again? Didn't I just read this? Oh, wait, it's a different script. Stop shooting at me!
I have a top hat on.
Can't you see that?
Whee!
Jeez. Oh, so what's everyone else doing in the car? The Yoink. Cast again?
Oh, yeah. Let me... Oh, sorry. I was distracted by... let me see. Well, Jason Fleming's still acting. He's always in a lot of stuff.
Mm.
So he's probably still the most... Yeah, he's still one of the most consistently working actors from this film. Tony Curran, after this film, he did a whole bunch of stuff. He was the villain in Underworld Evolution.
Mm.
But he was also in Flight of the Phoenix, Miami Vice, The Good German, The Midnight Meat Train, The Adventures of Tintin, Big Mama's House Like Father Like Son.
Oh, God.
Actually, he was in X-Men First Class as well.
Oh, there you go.
Although most of his roles, surprisingly, are only small parts rather than like big main roles. Although he had an uncredited role in For the Dark World as well.
Hmm.
And the last thing he was in recently was The Outlaw King.
Hmm.
And also, what else was he? Oh, he was in Daredevil as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was actually just remembering him from Daredevil too.
Hmm.
He was in season 2, I believe.
Yeah, he was like an Irish gangster in season 2.
Yeah. You've done terrible things, Janine. And the Punisher shot him in the face with a shotgun.
Indeed.
So this is practical, is it?
Yeah. And this was how they got all the actors to be in this movie. They sort of chained them up and forced them to be in it. Yeah, so it's all practical effects.
Hmm.
I mean, this looks decent, but when he was running on those rooftops,
yeah, it looks shit.
I do like the fact that it's like his upper body is like huge, but his legs are still like human size.
Yeah, it's like those gym junkies.
Indeed.
Buckets. Looks like they're holding, they got big arms to hold buckets with skinny
legs. Indeed. He's going to tell us how much he enjoys CrossFit.
Great way to stay in shape.
Obviously, I'm not the Incredible Hulk. Hey, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was the 2000s, the Avengers. Now, I'm going to find out what the actor who played Captain Nemo are. And I'm probably going to butcher his name, so please forgive me if I do. Nasiruddin Shah, I believe is his name.
Mm-hmm.
What has he been up to since this movie? Hmm.
Oh, and of course, in that beard, awesome.
Indeed. I believe, let me just look, because I don't know if this was his first and only English language role. I'll have to find out.
Hmm.
Actually, no, he was in another English language film called The Great New Wonderful.
Hmm.
But no, he sort of stuck more to sort of Bollywood movies after
that. Okay.
So I think this is only one of two English language films he was in. Oh, wait a minute. There was another one called Today's Special. So there's like three.
I'd say.
Oh, wait, there's four. The movie called The Perfect Murder. So I stand corrected by all this. But I think he sort of stuck more to sort of Bollywood films. So.
Yeah.
He is so good in this movie.
Oh, he is, but what the fuck is wrong with Tom Sawyer? What a wank.
That is a very thin ship. Oh, submarine, I should say.
It's badass.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, granted, it's a comic book movie, so we can't take any logic with anything that happens in this story, but it's like, how do they have the technology to create something like that and that sleek looking?
A wizard did it, Bede.
Merlin, actually, you could be right. Merlin could exist in the world of this movie. He could be a member of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anybody you guys would like to see in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Oh, that's a good point. Which literary character could we see as a member of this team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Harry Potter has to.
No, he doesn't.
No, okay, fair enough.
How about Herbert West?
Ooh, I like that. Or, let me think.
Why not just add the Queen of Hearts or something random?
Ooh, I like that too. I don't like that kid. He keeps wearing the same outfit as me. I just like how Tony Curran's invisible man just looks like he's just got a ton of sunscreen all over his face. Do, 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 do.
Looking albino.
Actually, you know
maybe
what?
Maybe he burns easily.
That is true. I'll say this, you know, if they ever did a reboot of this movie, like, I assume if they did, they would do it as a TV series.
Mm.
So it could be more in line with the comics. You know who I could see as Alan Quatermain?
Who?
Pierce Brosnan.
That could work.
That'd be like two Bond actors playing Alan Quatermain.
That is true. But isn't he in something?
Oh, he's going to be in the next Shazam movie.
Yeah. So there's that, I guess. But
indeed.
What about as Mina?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe, I want to say Eva Green, but I have a feeling that it might be too typical of a role for her. I'll put a board up your arse. And then Rob Moss is off screen. He's like, did he say arse? Even on a submarine, you have to wear a jacket for dinner.
And who else could potentially be cast in the movie? But you have to use, obviously, the book characters, right?
Yeah, obviously the book characters, yeah. Because I think the initial team was Quatermain, Captain Nemo, the Invisible Man, Nina Harker, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
And you're probably completely wrong.
I could be completely wrong. I'm sort of basing this from what I remember from the comic. Because I think I read a little bit of the first issue, but I just never went back to reading it.
So who would be Jekyll and Hyde? Just out of curiosity.
Ooh, that's good. Oh, Andy Serkis.
Yeah. That even seems a bit too typical, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, now that I think about it. I kind of like putting people you would never suspect to play these characters. I don't know. We'd have to have a real good think about this. Especially when Marcus comes back because he's disconnected.
It just shows me he's muted for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Marcus, are you? You're back. We were just saying. Hey, look, it's the token white guy on the ship.
Call him Ishi.
That is Ishmael from Moby Dick. Call him Ishmael.
I'm just going to call him Ishi.
Ishi.
Whee!
Actually, I would put Hugh Grant in a role in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ooh, I do like that. Maybe it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Actually, you know what? Definitely.
Don't mind me, Sean. I'm just here pretending these balls are Stephen Morrington while I can shoot them.
Or Nicolas Cage.
As Nicolas Cage, I should have played Tom Sawyer in this movie. But then they asked me, and I was like, that's too typical of a role. I actually want to play the role of the submarine. All right, Marcus, we're talking about fan casting for this movie. Who would you cast as, like, the five main characters, like, from the comics? Quatermain, Harker, Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I believe Captain Nemo. Who would you cast as these characters?
You mean like bad people? Bad casting?
Oh, no, good casting.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, that's it.
I guess for Quatermain, probably Russell Crowe.
Ooh, I like that.
And for Mina, probably Naomi Watts.
I like that too.
I do. I like that.
And Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, probably Ben Foster.
Ooh.
He wouldn't really be acting either.
No, he really wouldn't. And Captain Nemo.
Yeah, so if we go by, I used to think like maybe Ifran Khan would be perfect as Captain Nemo, but since he has since passed away, I'm not sure. I mean, there's definitely other Indian actors out there. I just have to think of who would be playing the part.
I don't know why, but I'm probably getting this completely wrong, but maybe Dev Patel?
Ooh. I mean, we could have a young Captain Nemo.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But he's such a good versatile actor.
Oh yeah,
he's absolutely one of the best actors working today.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and any actor
definitely pull off that beard.
Oh yeah.
And any actor who can convincingly do an Aussie accent is definitely a great movie.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Brilliant movie, that one.
Well, I will say this about this movie. Even though Tom Sawyer as a character is kind of not really necessary for this movie, I do like the relationship between Quartermain and Sawyer in this film.
Well, they tried to make sort of that father-son
dynamic.
Mentor type thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And they're both kind of jackasses, so it fits.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Russell Crowe as an older Alan Quartermain, I could see that working.
Hmm.
Same with your suggestion of Pierce Brosnan as well.
Hmm.
But anyway, I cut you off.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, I think it's interesting, though. Like, a lot of people say, like, oh, this is like the action adventure heavy version of LXG. I'm just saying for sure because it's so bloody long, saying the whole name. But actually, for most of this movie, there are actually long scenes of just characters just standing around talking and that. I suppose maybe like some people see that as kind of a bit dull and maybe kind of poorly paced. But I think at least it's sort of this film takes the time to actually have scenes where the team actually interacts. For long stretches of it.
Yeah. I apologize for background noise. Someone's decided to do fucking gardening.
I can't even hear anything.
Hope it doesn't pick up on the recording. But anyway, bloody idiots.
As Nina Harker, I am now a scientist.
Well, she's very smart.
That is true. And she's Peter Wilson.
She has glasses and a beaker and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're doing anything sciencey, make sure you have the beakers.
Exactly. Because, you know, they're all on standby, ready to go if you need to do some science work. Dorian Gray, I see that your suit's all mended now.
He's got like 50 of them.
Indeed, he's got 50 versions of the same suit.
Yeah. It's like Batman, you know, with 50 versions of the same suit.
Indeed. I think everyone has the same outfit because nobody's changed clothes throughout this entire film.
Well, they don't need to.
And Dr. Jekyll's just back there being all daddy like, I just like to watch you guys.
He's allowed.
Such a creepy bastard.
Oh my gosh. This literally is like The Room because it's got Stuart Townsend is Johnny, Peter Wilson is Lisa.
Jeez,
you look so sexy. You look so sexy, Nita.
Oh, anyway, how is your vampire sex life?
You know, Mina, I know something about vampires because I was Lestat once.
Now I'm Le Crap.
Well, that he might be.
Have a sip of this.
What the hell was that reaction?
I don't know.
This is weird.
More orange chicken.
I don't know. I didn't really feel the chemistry between these two.
Because they didn't have any.
Meanwhile, he's ready to start wanking in the corner.
Yes.
Yeah. He's having his Gollum Smeagol moment.
Indeed.
You are no Gollum, sir.
I like how the way they portray Mr. Hyde just goes from, like, you know, just through the years of adaptations of the story, it's just, like, you know, a more monstrous view, but then they turn it into, like, a legit freaking 10-feet-tall monster.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is not accurate at all.
Just go play clearly, the game Alan on Moore, Nintendo.
Clearly, Alan Moore didn't read any of these books he took these characters from.
They probably pissed him off, too.
You could have anything you want. You could have, like, this washing machine or what's inside this box. Buy elixirs. Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting they also throw in a mystery as well. It's like, maybe one of the members of the League may actually be working for the bad guys. Who is it?
Thorian Gray.
Yes.
Yeah. Like... so mind-numbingly obvious.
It is.
If they wanted to be more like, they should have just made it Tom Sawyer.
That actually would have been a little interesting, but nah.
And it's interesting to me, like, this movie was produced by the same people who did the X-Men films.
Again, what the hell happened?
That's why this whole movie, like, even the backstory, I remember back in the day, like, Empire did, like, a whole, dedicated a whole article about, about how, what everything that happened to this movie and what went wrong. And that was probably one of my favorite articles they ever did for the magazine.
That's because you love drama, Bede.
Exactly. And I like
God,
how this says...
fucking awful.
And I love how this submarine could somehow fit its way through Venice.
Thank you. I was just about to say that. Like, how the hell does that work?
A wizard did it.
It's a multi-purpose submarine. It can just shrink down at any size that it wants.
It's like if Batman had a submarine.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Batman's would at least be, like, completely black and much, much, much smaller.
Maybe it's bigger on the inside.
Oh, like the TARDIS?
Yes. Who managed to set up all these bombs, I want to know? Underwater.
Come on. You know who it was. It was Aquaman.
Exactly.
Or was it Aqualad?
Aqualad. Yeah. It's interesting to me, like, Sean Connery was paid $17 million to appear in this movie.
Yeah. And that's why it's one of the main reasons it's the way that it is.
That to me is like looking up trivia now. It's like he was paid that much for this movie, so the filmmakers had to cast mostly, like, lesser known or unknown actors for the remaining parts.
AKA
they couldn't
cheap.
Get any more. Yes. They couldn't get any more bigger actors for this movie.
Here's the question, though. Do you think he was worth that price?
Yes. Because he retired after that. So basically it's like, I got my $17 and now I can go home.
Yes, but was Sean Connery's input part of the reason why this movie is shit? Or was it that way anyway?
Well, the thing is, the only reason, the main reason, I should say, Sean Connery signed onto this movie because he turned down both The Matrix and the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Because he was offered both those movies, he didn't understand them, so he turned them down and then realized, like, holy shit, I made a massive mistake turning down these huge... big franchises that were hugely successful. So when the script of this film came along, he was like, I don't understand this script, but since it's going to be a big budget blockbuster, I'll say yes to it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he'd understand this fucking script either.
Yeah.
he would have been like, why is Alan Quatermain and Captain Nemo in this film? Why are all these characters here? It doesn't make any sense. But $17 million, I'll do it. I apologize. My Sean Connery is not as great as our good friend Nick Bosworth, so
it's pretty decent.
Yeah, yes. But who's responsible for the failure of this movie? Was it shit from the script?
Maybe it's like a combination of everything. Kind of the maybe like a mixture of the script kind of being less than stellar, the behind the scenes trouble, and also like the media kind of attention it got because of that as well. And maybe just
and
the
definitely
overall,
the studio.
Yeah. Mm. And the overall product as well. Like, I mean, I still think like, yeah. Sorry,
I was gonna say, ahead. I mean, could Sean Connery have been trying to make it better, or could he have been making it worse?
I'm not sure.
It's what makes me curious.
Because he was an executive producer on this movie as well. So I guess like him having wanting to have a lot of creative input into the film probably didn't help matters either.
Yeah, I think he definitely contributed to this bombing.
Mm.
Mostly because of that freaking paycheck. Like,
yeah.
Come on. I mean, you 17 million for this? Come on.
See, for $17 million, you could have funded at least 3 Blumhouse horror movies with that money.
Yeah. You know?
This film would have had a completely different cast if they could have afforded like other actors.
Like, he could have taken a little bit of pay cut.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to Venice, because I'm probably the only one of us three who has been to Venice, and I'm, like, sitting here going, like, how long is this, like, road they're going on? If there's no road that I can think of in that entire time I was there, that went for that long.
It's the wizard's.
Oh, wait a minute. So, basically, if Nina Harker got bitten, became a vampire by Dracula, could this movie be set in the same universe as Van Helsing, since Richard Roxburgh was also Dracula in that movie?
Probably not, because how many different characters is he?
That is true.
And I see you trying to make this a lot more legitimate than it is, so stop.
And also, blows my mind that this movie was also shot by the Academy Award-nominated cinematographer of The Shape of Water.
Jesus.
You are lying to me right now.
I am not lying. Dan Wilson also shot the Shape of Water.
Again, I have to ask this question. What the hell happened?
And also, maybe too much editing as well.
It was too much of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking up Dan Wilson's filmography because I want to know what else he shot. he also shot Mimic, Brotherhood of the Wolf, Darkness Falls,
what?
Silent Hill.
Oh,
so a legit, Kane. Really good fucking cinematographer.
Yes, and. Actually, this is, now that I realize, this is like the second movie that same year he shot that was also a troubled production, because Darkness Falls was also a troubled production.
Yeah, it was.
Like copious amounts of cocaine or something when he did this.
Yeah. Because basically, Darkness Falls, most of that movie was reshot as well.
Yeah. That was a weird one. That's like an evil Tooth Fairy movie.
Indeed. Like, that movie, like, had so much stuff reshot that stuff that was in the trailer never even ended up in the actual movie.
Did they ever release an original cut of that, or...?
Nope. Oh no, Venice is being destroyed. Let's get out of here. Don't worry about saving all these people. Fuck them. Whee! I do like the use of mixture of, like, miniatures as well, because there's a lot of miniatures in this movie. And somehow they have a missile. Whee! Yeah, Tom Sawyer would have been dead from that crash.
Do you think?
He died. He died and went back to his home planet.
Not quite. So many explosions.
You definitely know that Michael Bay was masturbating to that scene.
That's disgusting, Bede.
Could be worse. It could be Quentin Tarantino with feet.
I was about to say, is there any feet in this?
I hope not.
And I like how everyone at this masquerade ball is like, oh, whatever. buildings and the explosions are happening everywhere. We're fine. We get the party because we're rich.
Well, they're just about to start the orgy, so.
Exactly.
That would have made this movie still... a lot better.
And they're like, Venice... Connery's like, Venice still stands. Like, dude, half of Venice, like, blew up.
Oh, jeez.
It's probably the uninteresting buildings.
Boshaw.
Do I sound like Richard Brooks by doing a crazy accent? I mean, Richard Roxbury is a great actor, and I think he's a legit good actor, but anytime he plays, like, a villain or has to put on an accent, he just comes off as very over the top and
yeah,
heavy.
Yeah, he does. It doesn't help that it's these kind of movies, too.
Yeah, I think the only time, like, he played a legit great villain was in Moulin Rouge.
Because
he was, like, a legit asshole in that movie.
Yeah. So what's the Patreon tier for you to dress up like the Phantom or whatever he's playing?
Oh, I wanted to dress up like Dorian Gray.
Yeah, but you'll do it for nothing, so.
Yeah, that is true. I'll do nothing for Dorian Gray, but for the Phantom, I'll do about 30 subscribers. Oh no, Dorian Gray was working for the bad guys. I'm shocked.
I had no idea.
I'm so shocked. Oh my god.
Oh no, it's that guy from Mission Impossible 2!
With fake prosthetics.
But he had on a mat. Well, never, whatever.
I don't know the point of any of this.
I was just going to say this.
Especially that knife throw.
Dr. Moriarty slash the Phantom slash M is like the weakest villain in this movie.
He's pretty shit.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they can't use, like, the Phantom. They got to put an F instead of a PH.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Just so Billy Zane won't come after them.
Oh, Billy Zane should have been in this movie. He should have played Dorian Gray.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Somehow I survived that crash.
Not even a scratch.
But see, Bede, he's an American, so that means he drives badly.
Indeed. He learned everything he knew from Too Fast, Too Furious. And somehow Ishmael got shot and somehow walked all the way out here.
Somehow.
He wanted to see that beard one last time. See, look at him. He's looking at it. Oh.
But, what's, what makes it perfect is the mustache all curled. It's beautiful. It's so good.
Indeed.
It is beautiful.
I love it.
Indeed. And that was Nemo's bro, yo. You don't kill Nemo's bro.
Nope.
Yeah, this bit, I was always like, what the fuck is this?
This is Nemo's balls. What is going on?
Well, didn't, like, Alan Moore, not only did he create these comics, but he also made another one that used other characters from literary... Was it Lost Girls that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, Lost Girls does that.
Yeah, because it uses, like, Alice...
Dorothy... I can't remember now.
But that one's much more sexualized than an adventure.
Oh, Wendy from Peter Pan. Was indeed. The other one.
We better go after that spinning ball thing that's slowly getting away from us.
Yeah, see, yeah. All this stuff, like, really loses me. Because it's not even like it's steampunk. It's just, you know...
Modern, steam bitch?
It's modern technology in the 1800s rather than looking like, you know, it could be from then, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like how steampunk kind of looks.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the weird thing about the... I do love this map. That's cool. I know I got to say, that's the thing I guess is what I find funny about this movie is like the technology feels way more modern than it should be at least than it would be at the time, like, where this story takes place.
Well, I mean, did you see the automobile?
Oh no, they got a bomb in here somewhere. And I'm not Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, they have to use that to listen to music, okay.
Yes. Yeah. But it's a message.
On a record.
Here's the interesting thing, because originally at the end of this movie, this was in the original script, but it was cut out of the movie, but it was also still used for the novelization, is like, at the end, James Bond's grandfather actually comes to see the league.
Oh, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, the character's name was Campion Bond.
Why?
And rumor has it, was Jason Isaacs was going to play that role?
What? And what, was he going to recruit them into the Avengers?
Could you be the real part of the organization and recruiting them to the official part of the group?
You're cutting out a bit there, Bede. No, you're robotic at the moment.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not you, it's just however it is. It's clearing up, though.
Because I think from what I remember, it was like Campion Bond was going to be show up at the end to be an official member of the British government to recruit the team to work for them. Going to find out. Let me see. I'm going to find out about this.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
Yeah, let me find this info and I'll let you know. Oh, here it is. There were widespread rumors that Jason Isaacs was to play the part of British agent Campion Bond. However, in an interview, Isaacs revealed he hadn't even read the script, but all reports of him being in the role were fabricated. So that might have just been rumor from what I've heard. But the character was in the novelization. I remember reading the last bit of it at a bookshop once, like looking at the end. Because that character did pop up at the end.
Okay.
He might have been in an early version of the script, but then they just didn't shoot it.
Okay, but it was just rumor about Jason Isaacs having been cast or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's unfortunate.
But very bloody weird.
Mm-hmm. Although I love it, the fact that Richard Roxburgh and Stuart Townsend are just like in a competition of like who can ham up the most as the villains.
Who can be the most unconvincing performer out of the pair?
Hmm.
I don't know. Seems neck and neck.
What? There was a bomb on the submarine. Never have guessed that.
I'm pretty sure I just saw the strings push that table backwards.
While everybody was doing their best Shatner impression.
This ship is now the ship is now called the Titanic. Oh, the submarine, sorry. They should have called it the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Picard comes from the future.
Indeed.
I mean, Patrick Stewart could have played Alan Quartermain.
Ooh, I do like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have worked.
Ah, we're drowning.
And he would have been cheaper than Sean Connery.
Way cheaper.
But he was too busy being an X-Men at the time.
Yeah, true.
Which we're all thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
Where's Jack and Rose? Come on.
Yes. They were 12 years too late. Whee!
Okay, guys, I will be right back. I have to get a drink because this movie is making me thirsty.
It's making you thirsty for Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. No. I'll be right back.
Indeed. Don't mind me, I'm just going to be Hyde.
Yeah, that wasn't even his potion. That was just a bottle of Jack.
Indeed.
Or, you know, vodka, because vodka's clear.
Yep. I just like how in this version, like, it's just like, no apparent reason Hyde's going to be like, I'm going to be the good guy now.
Yeah, he just switches up.
Yeah. Just for no apparent reason. It's like, I'm going to save everyone on, I'm going to save everyone on the submarine.
Kind of like the Hulk.
Exactly.
He's always British.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, Alan Moore was definitely onto something when he came up with the idea for the story. Because it is... I mean, I've read bits and pieces of the comics, like the first volume and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was one of the reasons why this movie... it drew to me because of the concept that it had.
No, I mean, it's a good concept, you know. Mm-hmm.
It just needed needed to be better in every way.
Yeah, it needed a better execution, you know, just, I don't know. It needed a lot that it just did not have.
Yeah. But even then, though, like, even, like, 18 years since this movie's come out, geez, it's been that long.
Yeah.
I can definitely consider it a guilty pleasure.
No, I can definitely see it being in that category. Because as we said before we started, there's definitely been a hell of a lot more, like, worse films than this, as far as, like, adaptations go.
Yeah, I would even say it's not even one of the worst comic book adaptations. I'd say it's more sort of middle ground than any, maybe slightly lower middle ground, but it's not, like, you know, one of the worst ones, like, you know, like X-Men Origins Wolverine or... Steel. Or Spawn. Yes, indeed.
You have physically harmed me with mentioning those.
SOS, Titanic is sinking. Oh, wait, wrong frequency. And also, that wouldn't happen for another 15 years after this story.
And also, I think that is, like, actually bigger than the Titanic. Jesus.
I think it might be.
Yeah. Which, although, of course, just begs the question, how did it fit in Venice?
Yeah, because, like, in Venice, though, from what I remember, like, the bottom of the water is still... It's not, like, that deep either, so it wouldn't be able to fit in there anyway.
Nope.
I don't like the idea of Mina Harker trying to fix up all these people, like, where there's blood and everything everywhere. She might have an urge to, like, suck a little blood here and there.
Yeah, she probably sneaks and does it, you know, while Sawyer is sitting there, like, tapping on stuff.
It's gonna follow this map.
Or this, you know, spherical ball, and I don't know what the hell that is.
Exactly.
You know what? Damn it. I'll just follow the beard. When in doubt, follow the beard.
Exactly. Nemo knows what's up. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whee! We'll just keep going around the world. We will pass through the treacherous straits of Tartarus. Have that Indiana Jones kind of reference with the map.
Yeah. And now we're going to be going to the Mines of Moria.
Yes. That kind of buzzes my mind. This movie came out the same year as Lord of the Rings Return of the King, Kill Bill Volume 1, X-Men 2, and also Freddy vs. Jason. How could we ever forget?
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
What's that?
What the hell happened?
I don't know. But these were questions that I need a full length documentary about the making of this movie.
Yeah, I do too. I want to know, damn it.
Because I do remember, because, like, it's not to say that this was the very first movie that had production problems. like at least was a trouble production ever. But this was one like when I around the time I do remember hearing about a lot in terms of how troubled it was. Yeah. Even before it came out.
Yeah, I think what makes it, you know, like the most mysterious is the final product. As much as we're sitting here like kind of bagging on it a little bit, there's so much in here that's done impeccably well, but so much that's just not. Like it's it's a very frustrating like mix of good and bad. And you just want to know what the hell happened in like each particular frame, each performance, each set piece, you know, because it's almost like we're watching several films in one. Exactly. None of them are connected.
It just feels like it's kind of, I think they were just trying way too hard to, because, you know, like I said before, this was produced by the same people behind the X-Men film. So I guess they were just trying to like make, like, I guess the next one, like the next big comic book franchise. Yeah. And it kind of just lost its way. And also, you know, a mixture of all the things we talked about, you know, probably scripting problems and Sean Connery trying to have creative control of the film. And maybe also even Stephen Norrington's kind of inexperience with a big budget, because at this point, even though, he directed Blade, like most of the films he made were much smaller budgeted films.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Potentially, yes.
I'm back.
Like, what was the budget for Blade? Well, the budget for Blade was like $45 million at the time.
And what was this?
I'm going to look. The budget for this film...
Wasn't it like 76, 78?
It was only 78. So this movie was a lot more smaller than I thought.
Yeah, but this is like early 2000s money too.
That is true, yeah. And 78, about at least 18, 17 of that budget was Sean Connery's fee. So technically this movie cost $61 million to make.
So he had to make use of all of that. As best as possible.
But I could also imagine, not only did, I mean, I can't confirm whether this is what he did or not, but I can imagine, like, Sean Connery, like, not only did he ask for that fee, he probably asked for some back-end deal of the movie as well, like some percentage of the film's gross, if it did well.
That's possible too, yeah.
Although, interesting thing I forgot about this movie, do you know who originally was originally cast as Mina Harker, but had to drop out before filming started?
No.
Monica Bellucci.
Oh. That would have been good.
Monica Bellucci.
Because I think she was busy filming the Matrix sequel, so she couldn't do the film.
And I don't know how the Invisible Man was out in that snow with no clothes on. His dick would have froze off.
It probably did.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, it would have been funny seeing Monica Bellucci in this movie, because she was one of Dracula's brides once. Let's not forget.
It would have made sense.
Maybe they could have switched. Maybe, maybe Peeta should have been Persephone.
Yes.
I don't know, though. Because Persephone, my God. Okay.
Don't mind me as the Invisible Man. I'm trying to sound like Jason Statham.
You got the bald head for it.
They can just throw it. Just to make sure you know I'm a hunter, I'm just going to say hunt a lot.
And thrilled. Like, this script had the word thrilled in it like a good 10 times, I swear.
And they just call him M.
Yeah, just like James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, this was probably Connery trying to mimic Bond a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And probably having like that Easter egg of a Bond dad character or granddad or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I like how when Mina Harker turns into a bat, it's not like one bat, it's multiple bats.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on with that. Oh, here we go.
Even though we are in the winter snow, I'm basically going to still wear this gray outfit because it's awesome.
Hey, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely would.
Now we're seeing.
I don't even like suits.
This is where we see who can out-ham each other.
Yeah, while M's doing his best Michael Keaton impression. Or, you know, Batman.
Exactly. Ah, this is interesting. David Fuelis actually auditioned for the role of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
That would have been a good choice, actually, David Fuelis, if he was cast.
Mm.
Let's see, who else? What other ones are here? Like, in terms of... Apparently, Stuart Townsend stated in an interview that he was the only one of the Seven League members whose contract did not bind him to a free movie deal. Hmm. He said they were going to ask him... He said they were going to ask it of him, but he observed that it would be pointless since his character was killed in the movie and they agreed to his contract for one movie, so...
Well, yeah, that would make sense, right?
Yeah. So basically, this movie was meant to be sort of set up as a trilogy.
It's probably why Invisible Man had that franchise line earlier. A franchise that'll never come.
Nope.
Yes. They should make a legacy sequel to this movie. Just say.
And call it what? The League of Literary Jackasses?
Oh, God, this shot looks horrible.
Yeah, the CGI, even at the time this movie came out, the CGI they used to this movie does not hold up at all.
Oh, God, no. This is painful.
Just wait till you see, like, the other kind of Hyde character that they have in this movie.
Oh, jeez.
It makes the what was in Blade, the first Blade, look great by comparison.
Oh, this is just...
Don't mind me, I'm just going to sneak around with these dynamites, even though you can still see the dynamite. Check out Captain Nemo attacking all the whiteys. And it's like, fuck you, whitey. That's for having white actors play me, damn it.
He activated his beard powers again.
Exactly.
Yes.
CGI dynamite.
I feel like there was a string on there.
I don't think that was string. I think that was a CGI one. I don't think that was...
It looks so awkward.
Now tell me, Shane West, do you understand what movie we're in? Because I clearly do not.
I understand.
Quick, get that whitey.
Jesus.
Oh, man. That would have a whole different meaning if I said that.
Uh-oh. Richard Roxburgh shaved off his mustache. He means business now.
And you can't see them, how?
Yeah.
What's in the box?
How can they see the invisible skin? It's invisible.
They probably think they have the skin, but they don't.
Maybe it's his invisible jizz.
Ew!
Oh.
You knew someone was going to say something gross. Come on.
That is true.
And you knew it would be me.
Let's just turn this into an After Dark production. I'm taking off my pants right now.
Yeah, yes. I'll find the porno version of this and watch it after dark.
Yeah, you know, hey, Marcy, you know what the XXX, you know what the porno parody version of this movie would be?
What would it be?
It'd be the League of XX Extraordinary Gentlemen. Oh, look, it's Ned Kelly.
It'd be the League of Extraordinary Banging Gentlemen.
Yes.
They all have to do it, like, very gentlemanly.
Indeed.
You remember, like, that Family Guy sketch where he's like, I'm going to watch British porn.
Yes.
Almost. Oh, there we are.
Yeah.
I like how it was so obvious when you see Captain Nemo doing martial arts. That's obviously not the actor playing Captain Nemo.
No.
What would you prefer, Mr. James Moriarty, since we have the rights to that character?
Yeah. All this does is just remind me that it would be better if Sherlock Holmes was in this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's like a weird kind
wow,
of like...
that shot was shockingly bad. Wow!
I think I read somewhere that like there's a weird rights thing for Sherlock Holmes. Like there are some aspects of the character that are in the public domain, but some other aspects that aren't. Because I think I read somewhere if like Sherlock Holmes even is happy or smiles, that's actually not in the public domain.
Really? That version. That's weird.
What? That is
weird. Yeah, because I think I remembered some... I mean, I could be completely, utterly wrong, so please forgive me, but I think it was like when that film Enola Holmes came out, and someone from the... Arthur Conan Doyle estate tried to sue the production because they had a much more cheerful or happier Sherlock Holmes in that film.
Oh.
And it's from the later books because those ones are not in the public domain.
Oh, okay. That's very weird.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you, these rights, man. These rights.
Meanwhile, when she's in full sort of vampire mode, very, very the CG and shots are fucking terrible.
Yes, I do. They are.
I do like that line. It's like, oh, we're going to be at this all day. You realize? Because we're mortals, we never die. We can first fight and kill each other.
Immortals, not mortals.
Yes.
Though okay. This does make me wonder where the hell Blade is.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think that's why the real reason why Stephen Norrington directed this film is like, wait, there's another vampire in this film? I want to direct it.
Mm-hmm. Then he finds out the real vampire is Sean Connery.
You waved a little bit lower, dude. That lied. I'd hope to get you nailed one last time.
That is so wow. bad.
So cheeky. So cheeky.
Although I do want that big fluffy jacket that Richard Roxburgh is wearing.
Indeed.
Yeah, everybody's got long, nice coats in this.
You know, oh, no, it's enough.
Back in the day when people used to give a shit about what they wore.
Oh, no, it's the Invisible Man from the Lee Whannell film. He's also packing a knife. So I told Elizabeth Moss to run.
Reload.
Evil Dead.
Now I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
I was
thinking
that was the Sam Raimi version of this whole movie.
Yes.
It would be a million times better.
It's Ned Kelly again.
Flamethrower Ned Kelly.
Yes.
That looks like the most awkward thing to wear.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Sawyer, being an American, doesn't understand why the bullets didn't work.
I mean, I know this movie went down in flames at the box office, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, fucking LB. Shut up!
Oh no, that other invisible man got burned.
How many invisible men are there?
A lot.
It's too many of them.
Yeah. They're like flashes.
So basically, Moriarty's plan throughout this whole movie is to, like, get some of the DNA from the members of the League and form his own evil league, I think.
With their powers combined, they are the League of Jackasses.
Uh-oh. Oh, he's drinking too much.
That's just
and vodka. And now wait for the worst CGI creation since Dwayne Johnson as the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
I like how he wipes it. Oh, wait, there's blood on it. Never mind. Jesus. I was going to say, like, if she's a vampire, she's dead, so her blood will be coagulated, right?
Is she dead?
She should be turning to dust? Yeah.
You do realize I'm immortal, right?
Yeah. I guess he forgot.
I've already had my heart broken by one vampire in my life. And you're no Dracula. And you're no Tom Cruise either.
You are La Crap.
Ew.
Oh no, that's not as disturbing as the one from the 50s movie.
Oh no, that one is incredible.
I'm not handsome, no!
That was all the audience members after watching this movie.
Yeah.
So he can't look at the painting, right?
Yeah, he can't look at the painting or he'll revert back to being old. And since he's been alive for 100 years, he's basically just going to turn into dust.
Now see, that's how a vampire is supposed to die, even though he's not one, I guess.
Poor Tony Curran, he's like burnt to a crisp.
Just like this film.
Yes.
Hey-o!
Actually, this wasn't a scene, this is just John Connery wandering around on the set, it's like, where am I? What's going on?
Jesus.
Where's my 17 million?
Is that you, Indiana? Is that you, Harrison Ford? Excuse me, I'm looking for Catherine Zeta-Jones. I hear she's around here somewhere.
I need to see that ass one more time.
Yes, I'll fight to the death, but don't knock off my wig on top of my head.
Jesus.
Oh, here it comes. This CGI... version is horrid. Even back in 2003, it was horrid.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Oh.
That's like something out of a PS2 game.
I can't even. It's fucking just terrible.
This monster looks like a cancerous testicle.
Jesus, Bede.
A cancerous testicle.
Look at it.
You know what? Now I can't unsee it, so thank you, sir.
Yeah. This looks like someone gave steroids to Basket Case.
It did. It also looks like a mixture of Basket Case and also the Tyrant from the first Resident Evil game.
God. This movie.
Go ahead and kill me, Sean Connery. I'll come back as Dracula.
Actually, that thing looks like what you'd get if Basket Case and Krang had a baby.
Oh, jeez. I like how Captain Nemo is like legit so fast with that sword. He is like cutting the shit out of that monster.
It's the beard.
That was definitely a blade shot.
What were you saying before I cut you off? Sorry.
I was saying like Captain Nemo was cutting the shit out of that monster.
Oh yeah.
So far.
He was going nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to look at this weird Krang cross Basket Case testicle.
Oh, where's my body?
Yeah.
Shredder! I want my body!
Mm.
Richard Boxmore, stop fighting me. I just need to know what's going on in this movie.
What character am I playing?
Dr. Hyde's a Mr. Hyde's a mood. He's like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah, being in this movie. Jesus.
I like how, like, this monster's got one huge arm and one small little arm.
That's his wanking arm, Bede.
I was going to say that exact same joke.
That's what happened after he got out of lockdown.
He took steroids and, like, furiously masturbated in lockdown.
Yep.
Well, he definitely needs to watch an episode of After Dark.
Yes.
Oh, God, I don't want to look at it.
It's talking about him or the movie?
Yeah, both.
You know, being that this is directed by the same guy who directed Blade, I'm like, I'm not surprised that that CGI creation looks bad.
Yeah, but with Blade, you can forgive it. You can't forgive this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This movie is so dumb.
Don't worry, it's only a model.
Fly, Ricky.
I'm freaking out that
die, you cancerous testicle.
The cancerous testicle. Oh God.
I'm sorry, Bede made me do it.
This is why you don't mate basket case with Krang as well as cancerous testicle, because you get that thing.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
What's Skin up with my right? accent? All right.
Actually, I think I read in the trivia, like, Richard Roxburgh does multiple accents throughout this whole film, and each one gets worse than the last.
Yep.
Yeah. He's supposed to be the Phantom, but he's not slamming evil. Oh, wait, he's Batman. Look.
Batman.
Look at that. Oh,
that is so
on.
Bad. Jeez. What were they thinking?
I think copious amounts of cocaine was involved.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Lots and lots of cocaine. Lots and lots of cocaine.
You'd hope so. You need some kind of excuse for this shit.
Indeed.
You're ready.
As an American, I don't know what aiming is.
Jeez.
For crying out, Tom Sawyer, you're useless.
Yes, yes, he is.
He is.
Okay, here's a bit of trivia. Richard Roxburgh later referred to the finished movie as an unadulterated stinker.
You don't say.
He signed on to the project as an opportunity to work with Sean Connery and director Stephen Norrington. Roxburgh said that he realized too late that the film was going to be a bad experience when he arrived on set during the first day. However, Roxburgh did praise the graphic novel.
Hmm.
Well, yeah.
So what happened you when watched... he turned up? What the hell were they doing?
Just everything. Oh!
Probably having their own.
Oh, I just realized. So Sean Connery was originally offered to play Gandalf in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And Stuart Townsend was originally Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings. So yeah. They could have possibly had been starred in that movie together.
Yeah, this movie was the Lord of the Rings rejects.
Yes.
Yeah, just bad decisions all around with all kinds of cocaine and not enough orgies.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My pants are still off.
Oh, time to take off those pants.
Oh, this fucking movie.
Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what I was reading. If one listens quite closely, the Phantom, M, and James Moriarty's accents changes frequently. The Phantom is at first Germanic in his accent, then takes on a Russian accent when confronting the League at the shootout at Gray's house. And as M. Moriarty slash the Phantom, he uses an upper-class British accent, but at the Fortress Vast, Moriarty's accent is a rougher, almost Cockney-style accent.
Yeah, it changes every scene.
So basically, like, Richard Roxburgh just did not put into have any effort into this movie in terms of having a consistent accent.
Unless the director just kept telling him different things.
That is true.
I don't know.
Or maybe he had multiple personalities. I don't know.
Okay, from what I remember of the novelization, this funeral scene, this is where Campion Bond would meet up and tell the League, we need you guys because we're hearing getting mysterious signals from Mars. So, which of course would have set up like the tripods from the worlds of coming to Earth and then the League having to stop them.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
They would have messed that up too.
Yeah.
Somehow that would have actually been a better movie. if you had used that one.
Always the optimist, aren't you, Bede?
Yes. This is why it's fucking CGI. Terrible.
CGI fire.
Oh, voila. Geez.
This is just terrible.
Well, here comes Zombie Connery.
See, that would have been a good villain for the next one. Oh, and thus concludes our movie with 7 minutes apparently of credits, but I don't think we'll sit through 7 minutes of credits. There was no extra scenes, were there?
I don't think so, no. This was like before they actually did stuff like that for a lot of comic book movies.
Yeah, well, I'll stop the movie because we are pretty much finished. So, yeah. That was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and this was our commentary or watch-along for the movie.
Indeed, and hopefully it was an informative one, especially about the sort of the behind-the-scenes trouble in this film. I actually would suggest, probably are articles out there about the behind-the-scenes trouble of this film. Mm. Like, I would recommend people find that Empire magazine article, because that was probably one of the best ones I read, but I'm pretty sure there's other ones out there that could also be worth reading as well.
Yeah, and if anyone has watched along with the film with our commentary, bravo. You did well.
Gold star.
absolutely. So, that wraps up this month's fan-voted commentary. Please check back on the group, which is at facebook.com/thesupernetworkgroup, towards the end of, I guess, what are we in now, July? Towards the end of every month, the beginning of the month, where we will have a new poll up, and August, we will be having a poll for the theme of Kurt Russell. This is one I've been waiting for ages, and I'm very excited.
Indeed.
Her pants are already off.
Yeah, that's right.
Are we sure this fan voted audio commentary just won't be an episode of After Dark with Supermaster?
It might very well be. It depends which Kurt Russell film will be picked, so stay tuned for that one. And as usual, you can find us at supermarcy.com. That is SUPERMARCEY. You can check out all the podcasts and reviews and content that the three of us do on there. So show that some loving. You can find me personally at twitter.com/SuperMarcy, or you can find me on Letterboxd, where I share all what movies I've been watching and lists and so forth. And you can find me there, I believe. I'll probably just have to actually check my what my name on there is. I believe it is Super_Marcy. So you can find me on the Letterboxd as well. And as usual, you can find us at Supermasty. I mean, as usual, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thesupernetwork. We are on YouTube under the Super Network, so you can check out all the podcast previews and actual YouTube shows we do over there. Please subscribe. It will help us out a lot. You can find us on Instagram at the.super.network, and we're on TikTok at the Super Network. So we are everywhere, and of course you can get your podcast on all the major podcast streaming platforms. Be sure to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. It definitely helps out a lot, and it shows that you love us, which we really appreciate. Bede, where can people find you this week?
Well, people want to find me. They can follow me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/BedeJamai, or my personal writer's page on Facebook at facebook.com/TerribleAussie. And of course, you can find all my writings over at supermasty.com with all my reviews and columns.
Absolutely. And Marcus, where can people find you?
Well, they can all find me right where they find you guys, on the Super Network, either on the Facebook page or on the site, you know, supermarcy.com. Or if you just want to just see me personally, I'm also on Facebook. And, of course, you know, Letterboxd. I don't have a Twitter. I need to get a Twitter. Yeah. I don't have an Instagram. I need to get an Instagram. I am behind the times, but you can still find me, you know, lurking around you guys and, you know, doing my own little thing.
Yeah, so. Well, we're always in the on the Facebook page or the Facebook group, so absolutely, people can find us there.
Pika, pika!
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with me today? I don't know.
It's okay. I still got my pants off, so.
Oh, yeah. But also, don't forget, Nicolas Cage and I will soon have our very own podcast called Connery and Cage. That's very right. We're going to be talking about all my movies and occasionally Sean Connery's films as well.
Oh, okay then. Wicked.
Which may or may not happen, I'm just saying.
Probably never.
Yes. If it does, it'll be a Patreon exclusive.
Oh, jeez. Well, with that done, thank you so much for listening, everybody. And, you know, we really appreciate it. Love you lots. Until next time, I've been Super, Bede's been terrible, and Marcus can't keep his pants on because he loves this movie so much.
No, but yes.
Bye, guys!
See you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Quatermain. The Empire is in peril.
You're probably too young to know, but the Empire is always in some kind of peril.
We need you to lead a team of unique men like yourself to combat this threat.
Regale me.
There is great unrest. Countries set at each other's throats, baying for blood. It's a powder keg. The trouble of which I speak could set a match to the whole thing. War.
With whom, exactly?
Everyone. A world war.
That notion makes you sweat?
Heavens, man. Doesn't it you?
This is Africa, dear boy. Sweating is what we do.
The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi, so just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.com bit.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal.
You can also find the link in the show notes.
Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark doo 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 doo. Surfy shark doo 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 doo.
And now back to the show.